In a year that has been so improbable, the impossible has happened.
A shot on Elo. Good! The Bulls win it!
You know what time it is.
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic.
Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James with the rejection!
Holy cow! Oh my God! I don't believe it! It just continues!
Piss excellence.
Welcome back to another episode of the Sports Hour. This is Mitch Mo.
And this is Dallin. Guys, I made it back to the country. I'm here.
He's back. Oh my God. How was Peru? How was Peru? Tell us all about it.
It was amazing. An awesome experience traveling overseas. I got back and I couldn't speak English anymore. I had spoken so much Spanish, which was a good thing. I wasn't going to complain about that. I had to translate for my in-laws like the entire time I was there. So I spoke a lot of Spanish. It was fantastic. I've been back a week now. It was the worst feeling ever to go back to work last Thursday and be like, here we go. You know, that's like the worst thing about vacations is coming back from vacations, but it was great. Fantastic experience, and I've heard that you and Jordan had quite a little bit of fun while I was gone.
Yeah, Dad wasn't home. We had no rules, so we went all out. We went all out. It was a great time. Thank you again to Mr. Jordan Fox for filling in for the last 2 weeks. Always nice to have him on the show. It's been a while since we actually had him on the show, so for him to have him for two full shows, 2 weeks in a row, was just great, and thanks to him for helping me hold down the fort while Dad was out of town. But you're back. We took a week off, so you can kind of reacclimate to, you know, speaking English and everything,
and catching up on sports. Because listen, I didn't have internet very often, and even when I did, it was really bad internet, like not couldn't load a thing. So I checked a lot of scores. But had no context as to what happened. It was a little frustrating, but nice to be back connected to the cloud. You know, I've plugged back in, and my electronic overlords are back in my life, and it feels great.
You know, you actually made breaking news while you were out of town.
Really?
You sent your picks in to us like right when you got service, like right as we were doing our picks.
Oh, so nice.
You made breaking news here on the Sports Hour, which it's not often an anchor makes breaking news to his own show.
Right.
But,
I mean, I guess we have autonomy to do that at any point. Mitch, breaking news. I'm here.
Oh, my God. Hey, breaking news. Mitch thinks that Priuses should be used in the military.
Wow.
What? I found that out today. Just quick anecdote. I was parked next to a Prius. I saw the guy get into his car. I turned my back to get into my pickup, and without hearing a thing, he was gone. He was gone. And I'm like, you know what? If these guys were snipers, if we actually had Priuses for our military for our snipers, we would never get caught. So,
oh my gosh. Mitch, that's like the most like Trump idea ever. Listen, guys, I have a great idea. We need to be sneakier on the battlefield. We're going to put all the soldiers in Priuses. They're not going to see it coming. It's going to be so slow.
Everyone's worried about the climate change and everything. Why not just drive Priuses around? We never get caught.
We're going to be the quietest army in the world. The hugest.
We would.
Mitch, I can't believe that. That's amazing.
I'm just saying.
What a take. I want Priuses in the military. Never been done before. I can guarantee that.
Oh yeah, never ever.
Oh man. All right, but let's get back. Mitch, we have some news to hit on to start this show, right?
Oh, we got some news. Yeah, let's get into the news.
All right, let's start with some trades, some NFL trades. These don't happen very often. Big time deals. This ain't the NBA. This ain't the MLB. You know, it's the NBA, or sorry, the NFL has definitely ramped up the trades in the last couple years, but we had a big one just today, or yesterday.
Yeah, Jalen Ramsey going to the Beast out in the West.
Yes.
Going after the Beast in the West from the swamps of Jacksonville to the City of Angels.
Right. I mean, he's Ramsey on the Rams. I mean, that just makes too much sense, right?
Oh, that makes too much sense.
Right. Too so much. The Rams made a trade for Jalen Ramsey, sending two first-round picks, 2020 and 2021, and a fourth. So two firsts and a fourth for the former fifth overall pick in 2016. In conjunction, they also made a couple of other deals. So before the Ramsey trade, the Rams actually traded away Marcus Peters to Baltimore for a linebacker, Kenny Young, in a 2025. Peters is in the final season of his rookie contract and has kind of struggled. In fact, the secondary for the Rams has struggled a lot anyways, hence the thinking for Jalen Ramsey. So they move on from Peters, upgrade it with Ramsey, gain a fifth back and a player. They also landed Austin Corbett, an offensive lineman from the Cleveland Browns, for a 2021 undisclosed pick. So the Rams, after the embarrassment of a loss to San Francisco at home, really trade some, you know, made some moves, and two first round picks is not a that's a steep price, Mitch.
That's a very steep price. But you got to pay it if you think you can win now. And I think that this team can win now. I mean, they had the tough loss last week to San Francisco, and we'll get into San Francisco here in a little bit, and probably over the next couple of weeks as we start to figure out what we know about the NFL. You know, what's becoming apparent about these teams. This is a steep price, but I think it's one that's going to pay off for them in the long run. Jalen Ramsey, a big upgrade from Marcus Peters in my book. Marcus Peters was one of the top cornerbacks in football before his tenure in Los Angeles. We thought that he was going to be one of those big pieces to it. What was supposed to be a very stout Rams defense that just never came together. Very reminiscent of that dream team defense in Philadelphia of, you know, the early 2010s. So I think it's a great, they made some great moves. I think they made some great defensive pushes to get themselves in better contention for that one seed in the NFC.
Yeah, and the thing with Peters is he's only played about a season and a half with the Rams. 22 games, was acquired before the 2018 season, and had five interceptions, but that secondary struggled, and obviously Ramsey's an upgrade. What I like most about this is, yes, you gave up two first-round picks, but this is a guy who becomes a solid piece on your defense. He's so young. You can sign him to the extension, and now you have Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey. Donald, the dominant player in the front seven, Jalen Ramsey, the dominant guy in the secondary. Those are great two pieces to have on your defense long term. Never mind you the impact that they have in today's game and in the season that you have right now. So I think it's a very smart move by the Rams. They're not going to be, you know, these aren't going to be top 10 picks. The Rams are giving up very late first round picks for a guy who can be, you know, a foundational piece of their secondary for the next, you know, 8 years. So a fantastic move by LA. They paid the price to get him. And I think teams like Baltimore and Kansas City are going to regret not making the move for Jalen Ramsey.
I think that they are, that this is a huge move for that team. They have the veteran presence of a Clay Matthews already on the team, who's playing actually very well. Obviously, you have the unstoppable force of Aaron Donald, and a very good, actually, defensive line. And then you add a good guy on the outside to cover that number one receiver, whoever he is, week in, week out, covering him with Jalen Ramsey. This defense actually did get a lot better with adding just one guy. So,
yeah. 100%. So great moves by the Rams. It'll be curious to see what else kind of goes on as we have, I believe, another week, if not two, until the trade deadline. We have a couple other names floating around. Miami has floated around, you know, guys like Kenyon Drake. Do they pull the trigger on that? AJ Green, who is now It looks like healthy to play. Will he get traded and to where? I mean, we still have some pieces up in the air. Chris Harris for Denver, the cornerback as well. So it'll be curious to see what happens for the rest of the NFL and what we have before the trade deadline. All right, let's get on to the next bit of news. Mitch, the legendary quarterback who led, kind of, the Broncos to the Super Bowl, Brock Osweiler, has retired.
Yeah.
Yes, all 7 feet of him.
Hit the sad music. Hit the sad music.
Do we... Mitch, I'm going to let this play, but do we have to do this for Brock Osweiler?
Well, no, we don't. Cut it. I'm done. No more sad music. He gets a not even a single tear. He just gets a one of those. Because it's one less guy we get to make fun of. One less guy we get to make fun of. Yeah, he's 6'8". 6'8", 6'9".
I thought he was 7'2". I'm just kidding.
He might be 9'3". Who knows?
He's Boban Marjanovic. He's 7'6".
He's got a future in the NBA or in the WWE. That's just it, because he's a monster. But yeah, you know what? Things just don't work out. And we've seen this. We've seen this a lot with players across all sports. But Brock Osweiler gets the big contract. He's the Bobby Bonilla now of football. He gets to get paid by a team that he doesn't even play for anymore. So he's gone. Good riddance a little bit, I guess.
Yeah, it's just a weird thing to think back on Brock Osweiler. What a weird career he had. To come in for the Broncos in place of Hall of Fame quarterback Peyton Manning, lead them to the playoffs, and then ultimately get benched for him in the playoffs. Peyton Manning ends up winning the Super Bowl, and you're like, that's cool. Got him paid. But I will say, it's always fascinating in sports when somebody makes a ton of money and it like ruins their career. Because Brock Osweiler, I think, would still be in the league if he didn't get a $72 million contract. But because he wasn't nearly good enough for what he got paid, he's looked at as worse than he actually was. Like, he could be a serviceable backup. You know, in Miami, he wasn't bad. He wasn't terrible, you know, when he played. But you have that $72 million and the Texans trading him after such little amount of time and nobody wanting to take it, like... That just, like, put a sour taste in everyone's mouth, and there he goes. So, go call the XFL, Brock Osweiler, because the XFL draft was today.
Yeah.
And we have quite a few Brock Osweiler-esque players that will be participating starting in February of 2020, Mitch.
Yeah, I am so excited. So, I have a confession to make here on the Sports Hour. I know we don't have confession music.
I could just play like Confessions by Usher, but I don't want to get copyright.
Screw it. We're not making money yet on this. Let's.
I don't know if I want to start a confession bit on here. I don't have that much. I want to confess
sports
to
confessions
on a podcast.
Sports confessions of the week. Like, let's just confess something. I'm a closet WWE fan.
Oh, yes. I knew that.
Well, you
but
knew
yes,
that.
Yes, for the listeners. Yes.
Like, it's not that, like, I mean, it's just
entertaining. It is shameful.
It's just entertaining, though. It's so entertaining. And you know what? That the people that partake in that are in incredible shape. Better shape than I could ever even imagine being in my life, right? But the XFL, obviously, it's owned by Vince McMahon, who owns the WWE, and it's supposed to be kind of this wrestling-esque type football league. But there's a lot of guys that we've seen in the NFL that are there. Cardale Jones, Connor Cook, Christian Michael is another big one.
Yeah.
There's a slew of guys that we've seen in the NFL at some point in our time that maybe had the one or two big games or the stretch of games that and it just didn't carry on throughout their entire career. And they're getting a chance here in the XFL to be sports entertainers. I don't know how much real football we're going to see in this, but I'm kind of excited just to watch it, just to see the train wreck,
You know, I was under the impression, Mitch, that this was going to be much more like regular football than the first time around.
Really?
Yeah, because obviously the first time around it was gimmicky. That was kind of the point, you know. But I was under the impression, and maybe I'm mistaken here, but I was under the impression that this was going to be much more normal football than it was when they did it originally in the early 2000s. So I mean, I hope so, because that's the thing. Like, if I want gimmicky football, I'll go watch arena football, but I don't want that. Hence why I don't watch it. So I really hope that it's not WWE on grass, you know?
I hope it's not that. I mean, I hope it's not gimmicky. I hope it's more like real football, because last time that happened, it was really bad football, like really bad. Which no one wants to see, even if there is the funny or quirky gimmicks that are thrown into it. But, it's yet to be seen what exactly the plan is with the XFL. I hope Vince McMahon learned his lesson the first time around on what people want to see when they watch football. I hope that's what he learned. I hope he learned something from that. But you know, I think a spring football league would be great. Obviously, the AAF didn't work out. USFL didn't work out, which it probably really could have. But I think seeing something like this, it's kind of more entertainment value than football value. Might be good. Might be good. I'm not sure. But
yeah, I mean,
that's all yet to be seen.
We were both really big fans of the AAF. Me, particular. Like, I'd gone to a game. I was really following it, hoping that it would work out, and it didn't. And that was really a huge bummer for me when it folded midway in the season. And I think that's why I've been so excited for the XFL, just because I want that to like work. So I'm hoping that maybe it's the XFL and not the AAF that's going to do it. But again, I just hope it resembles football. I hope it's good football, at least, you know, entertaining enough football, and we could make it different. You know, you can make it different. You could do some different things. You have to stand out somehow. So, you know, I hope it's a little bit different, but ultimately I want football. So
football year round is not a bad idea. So
no, yeah, exactly. You know, I really think that it just is a matter of sticking through a couple years and having, honestly, the financial backing was obviously what ruined it for the AAF. I have to think that with Vince McMahon, it's not going to be a case of whether the finances were secure, and it's going to perhaps be more of, you know, is it making money? You know, is it sustainable?
I don't think finances. I mean, I've seen what like the average player salary would be.
Yeah, it's like $55,000.
Yeah, which is not good.
I mean, that's what like the AAF was. I think it was like the AAF was like 60, or maybe it was more. I don't know, but
You're putting your body on the line, though.
But you're also playing in a secondary league, so like, you know. Like the G League in the NBA make about the same or close to it, I believe.
Yeah, but they're not putting their bodies on the line the same way that these guys are.
Well, sure, it's not football, but I'm just talking about it's a sport. So same principle. I mean, NBA players get paid more than NFL players. So
and I guess there's independent wrestlers that, you know, make a couple $100 a show.
Right.
And do that. So you really got to love what you're doing, I guess, if you're going to be here. So
yeah, and hope for the opportunity to ultimately make it to the NFL. So yeah,
sure.
The XFL will be great. I'm rooting for the Seattle Dragons. I believe you are as well, Mitch.
Let's go Dragons!
Go Dragons! So
purely based on the fact that they're 10th on the depth chart, offensive lineman, is Craig McCorkle. He's a tackle. I didn't know this is a real place. If you've seen the Key and Peele skit where they, you know, they do the college Senior Bowl or All-Star game, you know what I mean?
Oh, and yes, and they do like the player intros.
They do the player intros, and one of the ones that Jordan Peele does is he does his character name, and then he goes, University of California at Pennsylvania. And I didn't know that was a real place until Craig McCorkle got drafted. And there really is a California University of Pennsylvania. That let's go Vulcans. My new second favorite college football team. So, so that was kind of funny to watch, but you know, I'm excited to see how it pans out. I am. I really am.
Yeah, I hope it works. That's all I'm saying. I hope it works, and I hope it's good football. So, Mitch, let's last little bit of news. Let's transition away from football and into the MLB, because Joe Maddon has signed a contract today to become the new manager of the Los Angeles Angels.
Yeah, baby. Yeah. Great move for him. That's where he really got his first notice as a coach. He was a base coach for the Angels, especially when during their success, that 2002 World Series run. Hot take. This will be the change in Los Angeles that people need. They need good management. They need a good guy at the helm to get this done. And Joe Maddon is, by everything I've ever seen him do, whether it's Tampa Bay, whether it's Chicago, he's a baseball genius. Get that guy at the helm again, and I really think that this is going to turn this organization around.
Wow. I hope so, Mitch, because the thing is the Angels have wasted way too many years of Mike Trout. Way too many years of Mike Trout.
He's 27 now. He's 27.
He's 27! And what have they done the entire time?
I think they've had two playoff appearances.
Yeah. So it's about time. Hopefully this does something. I mean, this seems like the right move to me. I said we actually talked about this off the podcast, but I said that if the Dodgers were to fire Dave Roberts, I would only be okay with it if they hired Joe Maddon, because I had, you know, a lot of confidence in him as a manager. So great move by the Angels of getting their guy. And I hope it works out for them. The Angels have the type of talent to win. It's just a matter of, you know, everything else around it. So if Joe Maddon could be the difference, then fantastic.
Yeah, I think they do have the talent to do it. It's just, I think the wrong guy's been at the helm. I think Mike Socha was burned out his last few years there. Brad Ausmus obviously was not a good fit. So I think adding a guy like Joe Maddon into the mix, putting him at the helm, this will be the change that not just Angels fans, but I think baseball fans want to see for the Angels.
Yeah, especially when you have the best player in the league, you can't suck. It's like if LeBron this whole time was on the Charlotte Hornets, you know? It just wouldn't have made sense. You would have been like, this is wrong. Like, this team needs to be much better. You know, it's the best player in the damn league. Like, we need to be seeing this guy in the playoffs and in the World Series. And then, you know, so, yeah, I hope this helps.
I think it will. Hot take. I think it will.
Yeah.
This will be a playoff team next year. Mark
all
my
right.
words.
Okay, well, let's move out of the news and continue to talk about baseball, Mitch, because the MLB playoffs are going on strong. The Nationals upset the Dodgers in the NLDS to make their first NLCS, and now, Mitch, they will be making their first World Series as they swept the St. Louis Cardinals in four games. Mitch, they just demolished the Cardinals, just dominated St. Louis. I'm almost speechless because this was a team that if you told me, you know, what, 10 months ago that the Nationals would lose Bryce Harper and make the World Series. Like, what? That doesn't make sense. That is wrong. That should be wrong. And yet here they are awaiting the winner of Houston in New York. It's fascinating.
I mean, they started 19-31 through the first 2.5 months of the year. They just would not quit. Bryce Harper has to be punching himself in the nuts right now in disappointment. Just, I mean, you leave a team because you want to bring a championship back. And I was really high on the Phillies. I think I had them winning the World Series.
You most definitely did. You most definitely
had the MLB
did.
Preview. And they didn't even make the playoffs. So, the Nationals just a team that will not quit. I think that this is going to be a very good World Series, regardless of who comes out of the AL. I know that there's two powerhouses in the AL. This game was postponed tonight. It's going to be picked up back again tomorrow. This team is just, I think they're going to scrap. I'm not going to say that they're going to win, but this sure seems like a team of destiny to me. It sure does.
That's exactly it. This is definitely a team of destiny. I mean, it just like, It can't get more than this. I mean, nobody expected them to be here. They make it through the wild card game. They came back in the eighth inning of the wild card play-in game. And then they upset the Dodgers in the NLDS in five games. And then they just sweep through the NLCS. I mean, I don't know, Mitch. This feels like a team of destiny. And if I'm Houston or New York, like, I'm very nervous about playing the Nationals because they're pitching out of their minds. The offense is great. I mean, this is the definition of a team of destiny, that everything is just clicking at the right time and you can make a run like this. So I agree with you. The World Series is going to be a ton of fun to watch. What a storyline. David versus Goliath is what it'll be, no matter who comes out of the AL. And it's going to be a ton of fun. And as bummed as I am, obviously, of my Dodgers not making the World Series and losing to this team, it is fun to see this team just go on and just dominate St. Louis and be like, all right, I don't feel that bad, you know.
Oh, like, my gosh.
At least we took it to five games. I mean, these guys, I mean, we took it to extra innings in five games. I mean, these guys just got destroyed.
I could really see this series going seven, no matter who they play.
Yeah, I really could.
I'm not saying they're going to win it, but they just might do it. They just might.
They just might mess because around and win a World Series.
You line up your pitching right now because their series is done early, right? So they got plenty. They got plenty of rest.
Exactly.
You got plenty of rest. You can line up your pitching just right. Okay, you're probably gonna go out and throw Scherzer game one, right? Got to go throw Scherzer game one. Try to get out on the early lead, shut them down. Then you go Strauss game two. You run games 3, 4, 5, 6. With whoever you got to throw out there. You might throw one of those guys on short rest. Game 7, anything can happen. So don't sleep on the Nats. Just don't.
Yum.
Don't let them win today, as Kevin Millar would say about the Red Sox in 04. Don't let them win today because they just might put you away. They just might do it.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's going to be it's going to be awesome no matter what. So baseball playoffs, we've said this before, it is the best postseason of any sport, and this is why. You know, things like the Nationals, they happen more than any other league.
It's so much fun to watch too. It's so much fun to watch those games.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, it's a blast.
Yeah, it just drips with intensity. It's great. So all right, Mitch, shall we get into last week in the NFL?
Yes.
All right, let's start it off with the most recent game, the Monday night game, mired in controversy as Green Bay held off a comeback from the Detroit Lions. Multiple controversial calls, specifically on Trey Flowers getting, you know, the last one that basically sealed the game. No hands to the face anywhere. It gets called for it for the second time in the game and sealed the victory for Green Bay. Mitch, what are your thoughts on this game and maybe the NFC North as a whole?
Well, as a Bears fan, I am scared to play anyone in my division. I'm terrified. This Detroit Lions team is very, very good. The Packers, much better than what we thought they were going to be. The Vikings, still a contender. You know, it's really, really frightening to see this type of divisional play as a Bears fan, seeing it in the NFC North. The Trey Flowers play, look, there's refs miss calls all the time, regardless of the sport, and that's why we have instant replay. I'm not saying they should have looked at that again, but you got to be better than that. You got to be. There's no excuse for whoever that ref was. There's no excuse for making that call. Even if it's as borderline as that. Let's say he hooked his pinky and ring finger in the bottom rung of his face mask. Let's say he actually did get a piece of that face mask. There's no reason to call that play. Not in that close of a game. There's no reason to. And you know what? That one's not really the one that bothers me the most. It's the 13 guys on the field that the Packers had at the end of the game.
Yeah.
That one really irks me because that's so easy to call. That one's really easy to call. And that one should be reviewable. But it's not. And now we're talking about the Packers. walking away with a win that, honestly, they don't deserve. They just don't. Aaron Rodgers made some great plays towards the end of the game. The Packers really, they pulled themselves together in that fourth quarter. The Lions, you know, they, not that they fell apart. It's not really like they fell off. They kind of had a steady pace the whole game. But defensively, they played very, very well. And they got gypped out of this win. And the Lions right now should be 3-1-1, and the Packers should be 4-2. And the Packers didn't deserve this win. They just didn't on multiple bad calls.
I will disagree with you on that, because I think the winner of a game is the winner of the game for a reason. And if you won the game, it wasn't handed to you. Now, at the end of a game, it gets tight, and there's a lot of games that could go either way. And this reminds me of, and obviously it's not nearly as big of a moment, but the Rams-Saints NFC Championship game. I mean, this is the significance of a call like this. It directly changes the outcome of the game at the biggest moment. You know, the no PI call right there changes the outcome of that game. And it's not that the Rams didn't deserve that win, but it significantly helped them get that win. And I think the same case is true here. Green Bay deserved the win. They got the win. But the refs making a terrible call or failing to make a call at the opportune time directly affects the outcome of the game. And that is what is unfair. And that's where the NFL has implemented that the challenge on a pass interference.
Which has had low success rates.
Right, which hasn't really helped. But the idea behind that is so that a play, a missed call, or a bad penalty doesn't directly affect the outcome of a game, doesn't determine the outcome of a game.
It did, though.
And yet here we are with something happening again. It's just a different penalty. It's just a hands to the face that was called that shouldn't have been, but it directly determined the outcome of a game. And so how does the NFL fix this? I don't know. Like you said, it is the nature of sports. Refs miss calls, but it is just hard to see it at this stage of a game.
You're totally dodging the other call that's so easy to make. That changes the narrative of it. You're dodging the 13 men on the field that they had.
Well, no, that one's true too, Mitch. I'm just saying it's true overall. I'm just saying I don't know what to do about it, because like refs miss calls and they affect the outcome of the game. The NFL with the PI challenge is trying to help change that, but ultimately, like, it just happens and it sucks. Like, it really sucks for Detroit.
You know what they need to do? They need to stop bringing in amateur referees to do these games. That's what they need to do. They make enough money to pay full-time referees.
Yeah.
This league makes enough to do that, yet they bring in amateur referees all the time. You have your stalwarts, right? You have your Gene Steratores. Who's the really buff guy? Ed Hockley. You got Ed Hockley. You got your stalwarts that are always there. It kills me to see a team lose that way.
Yeah, I agree, Mitch. I think what the AAF did, experimented with the eye in the sky kind of ref that can kind of supersede or can kind of direct the refs one way or another, who sing things above, I think that's a great idea.
But the NFL does something sort of like this right now when they go to New York and they challenge plays, but the guy, Alberto Riveron, doesn't do a good job at his job.
Right,
he
but
sucks.
I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about, like, in-game, that he can stop play and say, no, you guys missed this call, or no, you guys got this wrong on the field, and that it's not like the refs, nobody has to challenge it, the refs don't have to stop it, it's a guy who supersedes everybody up in the booth that can say, no, we need to stop this because you got this wrong, we're going to reverse this flag. Like,
well, then let's do that instead of having New York look at challenges like that, because, man, it's bad. It's just flat out bad right now.
No, I 100% agree. And like I said, I don't think that – I think the winner of the game deserves to win no matter what, because it's not like the Packers were losing by 20 points and then a call goes their way and they automatically win.
No, but it was pretty crucial at a pretty crucial time.
No, but I agree that, like, obviously it's hard to see it happen in the most crucial of moments. And how we fix that, I think the NFL has to seriously consider, because – teams like the Saints and teams like Detroit walk away from these games saying, like, this should have been ours, and it was the opportunity to win was taken away by a bad penalty or a missed penalty.
Yeah, I mean, look, I agree that the team that wins should win the game in most cases. The Packers did not deserve to win this game. They just didn't. because it was taken right out of Detroit's hands. And it's not often that this happens with these types of penalties. It's not often. But I think it's worthy enough to overreact to it a little bit because of how egregious these calls were. Like, they were just bad. Flat out bad.
All right, let's move on to another game, Mitch. We had, this one was pretty interesting. Dallas and the Jets. Now, I had picked the Jets last week. And you kind of laughed at me when I told you I picked the Jets. But hey, Sam Darnold comes back from mono and gets a win. And Dallas has dropped three straight games. What were your thoughts on the outcome of this matchup?
Well, you know, I owe you an apology for giving you a hard time about this pick. So I apologize for giving you a hard time about this. I just think it's funny how, and Pat McAfee had already said this. I think it's funny how Sam Darnold goes away for a few weeks with mono and we forget about how, like, he's a good quarterback.
Yes. Yes. Thank
like,
you.
Like, we forget that, like, oh yeah, Sam Darnold's pretty good. Even for a young guy, he's pretty good. he lights him up for, you know, 23 for 32, 338 and two touchdowns. He got the pick. Lev Bell did what he was, you know, assigned to do that game. Not super relevant. He did have the touchdown, but Robbie Anderson, 5 for 125, looking like the deep threat that he actually is. Jameson Crowder, 6 for 98. Demaryius Thomas, welcome back to the NFL, 4 for 62. This team, they're probably not going to go 10-6 like we thought they were going to. It's probably not going to happen.
Not with the 0-4 start. That's gonna be really tough.
That's gonna be really bad. They're gonna have to go 9-2 the rest of their games to get there. But this team looks pretty good, and it's more a focus on the Cowboys, I think, because I think that Jason Garrett is about 3 years overdue from getting fired, and it's time for him to go.
You know what's amazing? Dak Prescott saved Garrett's job. Like, that season, that 2016 season, he should be fired. But Dak Prescott comes in and just is, like, much better than anyone expected. And all of a sudden, like, Garrett lives to fight another day. It's amazing. Like, he should have been fired that season. And yet, Dak Prescott, he owes Dak Prescott, you know, like, some actual real money in the NFL, because Dak Prescott makes like $600,000 and Jason Garrett gets to keep his cushy $1 million job out of it. But I will say, before we talk about Dallas a lot, I think this just proves that with Darnold, the Jets can be a pretty good offense. I mean, yes, they sucked while he was gone, but they had Trevor Siemian and Luke Falk as their quarterbacks. Luke Falk, who then gets released this week. Like, waived? Like, he just started two games for the Jets and then got waived by the team. Like, that's how bad he is. So, yes, the Jets looked terrible. And yes, it wasn't great before he got injured anyways, but that was like two games. And then he got sick. So, yes, the Jets are going to be a pretty decent team. Now, like you said, 10-6, probably not because of the four losses. But the offense with Darnold is pretty good. That's what we know about the Jets now.
Yeah. I mean, you look at the guys that actually received a target in this game for the Jets, and this is not a bad group of guys to go to. Robbie Anderson, Jameson Crowder, Demaryius Thomas, Ryan Griffin, Ty Montgomery, Lev Bell, Bilal Powell, some guy named Vincent Smith, who I have no idea who is. But just named on those first seven guys alone, that's not a bad group of guys to be throwing the football to.
Yes, yeah, the personnel group is solid there, you know, and then you couple that with Darnold and his ability. Like I say, that's a pretty good offense. It's not bad. So, but let's talk about Dallas, Mitch. They won three straight. Everyone was raving about them. Now they've lost three straight. Is Dallas? What do we? I mean, I feel like it's too early to really know what they are. You know, they're 3-3. They're not bad, but maybe they're not great. I mean, I don't know.
That's the ultimate question. Who are the Dallas Cowboys? And I'll tell you who they are. And I'm channeling my inner Stephen A. when I say this. They're just going to let you down in the end. That's all they're going to do. They're going to give you this hot start, 3-0. Look like they're just the red hot America's team Cowboys coming out of Dallas. And then they go 0-3 their next three. And they start to look like a dumpster fire again. And they're just going to let you Dallas Cowboys fans down. That's all they're going to do. They might go to a 10-6, 11-5 record. That's fine. That's fine. But when it matters, when they win games that they should win, don't count on them. Don't count on it. You better come to the game with your fingers crossed if you're banking on the Cowboys winning a game that they should. That's my take on it.
All right. Yeah, I don't know. I guess what I'm looking forward to this week is an opportunity to know where they're at, because they play Philadelphia and they play them on Sunday Night Football. So this is a test for both of those teams to prove, hey, who's the best team in the division? Because they've both had, okay starts to the season. They're both 3-3. It's like moments have been good and other moments haven't. So this could be a good test for both those teams, and I'm excited to see how they stack up against one another.
Yeah, no, that'll be a very good matchup. That'll be a very good matchup this Sunday night. Final game of the week. Niners-Rams, I think probably upset of the week, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
There was a lot of close games, but man, the Niners looking for real. They look like they are a for real team this year. Dallin, give me your take on what do we make of the Niners? I mean, they're so confusing, because you look on paper and this team should not be 5-0. They should not be 5-0. Yet they are. And they just without, for lack of a better term, blew out the Rams.
Yeah, and I don't know, the Niners, we talked about this before, that going into the season, we just didn't know what to expect because we hadn't seen Kyle Shanahan and Garoppolo and a healthy team like all together. And health hasn't even been that great to them, but they've won in spite of it this year. And what they showed against the Rams in L.A. on Sunday was that this team is for real. And the NFC West, I mean, it is not a cakewalk for the Los Angeles Rams. I mean, not only do they have the Niners, but then they have the Seahawks, who have looked fantastic as well. So the NFC West is not a lock for Los Angeles, and they will be fighting till week 17 to win the division, I believe. So the Niners are a complete team. They have a great defense and a good offense. And I don't know who's going to knock them off. That's what I'm thinking is who knocks them off next, where does that loss come? Because this week they play the Redskins. So chalk
that one up. And
they
have two games against the Cardinals in the next 5 weeks.
Yes. I mean, they'll go Washington, and then they'll go Carolina coming off the bye. And then I don't know their schedule after that, but it may be a couple more weeks until the Niners actually lose a game, which is crazy to think that the Niners could start like 8-0.
Like, you look at the schedule, and they haven't played the strongest schedule. But like, are we getting in a little bit too far by saying that the Niners are for real because they've played a weak schedule? Or is it justified? Because, I mean, this is the second best defense, statistically speaking, in the NFL right now behind the New England Patriots. You look on paper, they have all the name power. Fred Warner, Quan Alexander, Richard Sherman, Eric Armstead, DeForest Buckner, Solomon Thomas, just Kwiski Tart, Nick Bosa, Dee Ford. But are we jumping in a little bit too far into the Niners, or do you think this team actually is for real?
Well, here's, I guess, the question. Are you calling them for the Super Bowl? Because, like, if you do that, I think you're jumping on a bandwagon. It's been 5 weeks. But to say that this team is solid and competitive, that is 100% true. And I don't think you're reaching out there to say that. So what the Niners will ultimately do this season, how they will succeed, that remains to be seen. But so far, what we know is that both sides of the ball are good, and Kyle Shanahan is really good when he has pieces around him. And as long as Garoppolo stays healthy and the majority of the team stays healthy, I think this will be a playoff team.
Health is the big question for them. Health is definitely the big question.
Right. And I mean, either way, a 5-0 start gives you a huge heads up to getting to 10 wins and making the playoffs. So even if they sucked the rest of the season,
All they got to do is 5-6.
They go 4-6. They go 4-6, and they've made the playoffs. Or 5-6, excuse me. Yeah, 5-6, and they made the playoffs. You know? So they've put themselves in a very good position to get there. But like I said, what they will end up doing, how much success they'll have, we don't know yet.
Yeah. Yeah, 100% agree. So that's that's kind of our recap for last week,
that's about
right?
It.
All right. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we got a top five list that's going to blow your socks off. Blow your socks off. It's a banger of a list, folks. I really recommend that you stick around. We're also going to get into our quick picks after that. So, guys, stick around, and I promise we'll be right back.
Thank you guys for listening to the Sports Hour today. Be sure, if you haven't already, to follow our socials. You can find us on Twitter at Sports Hour Guys, Instagram at The Sports Hour Guys, and you can like our Facebook page. Be sure to follow those socials. Interact with us. We want to hear from you. Now back to the show. Welcome back to the Sports Hour. Guys, it is time for America's favorite segment. We're wasting no time here, Mitch. We're getting right into it. It's time for the top five.
That's right. It is the return of Mitch Moe's top five list of the week. And Dallin, let me ask you. We've seen some teams this year play with a quarterback that they're not expected to play with this year.
Some. Are you kidding me? I feel like half the NFL has been playing their backup quarterback.
Half would be a pretty good guess, but how about nine teams? We're looking at Jacksonville, Pittsburgh, Chicago, New Orleans, Carolina, Indianapolis, the Jets before the return of Sam Darnold, the Redskins, and the Giants all are playing.
And the Titans.
And the Titans, now that they have benched Mariota. So there's 10 teams.
That's 10. Jeez, bro.
That's 10 teams. That's just a little bit over 33%, I think. Or a little bit under 33%. I'm not good at math. But 10 teams that are playing with a quarterback that they did not expect to play with in 2019. And what does that tell us, Dallin? That there is a certain importance put upon having a good backup quarterback, right?
Oh, absolutely, 100%. Just ask my 4-2 Panthers what it's like to have a good backup quarterback.
Kyle Allen, right? I mean, there's talks right now of should Cam even start when he comes back because Allen's rolling.
There shouldn't be talks. By the way, if anyone wants to know my take on that, if Cam is healthy, he needs to start. I don't care if Kyle Allen goes 10-0.
Yeah, well, I'm on the opposite of that aisle. I think Kyle Allen needs to start until he starts sucking. So,
okay. Yeah. Sorry, we're not taking this over. Keep going, Mitch.
That's a conversation for another day. But on this week's edition of Mitch Moe's Top 5 List of the Week, we are doing the top 5 backup quarterbacks of all time.
Ooh, Mitch, I like this. I like this.
It's going to get hot. It's going to get hot. It's going to be a banger. I promise you. Let's get right into it with our honorable mentions. George Blanda, who played till he was probably about 80 years old. He was most famous for playing for the Oakland Raiders. He was a quarterback, a punter, and a kicker, but had some success as a backup quarterback. His multi-dimensional talents got him on the honorable mention list. Josh McCown. We don't talk about Josh McCown enough. He's got his own commercial. He was on a commercial as a backup.
What?
Yeah, dude, for like State Farm or something like that, or Geico or whatever it was.
Wow.
About being a backup, having insurance.
That's Aaron Rodgers level fame. That's pretty good.
Yeah, might not have been State Farm. Might have been Geico, but you know,
or it was their competitor knockoff, Geico.
Geico. It's a gecko. It's the Geico gecko wearing glasses. That's pretty much
it. Yeah, it's just a different lizard.
The moral of the story is, folks, be insured. That's all we're getting at. And then Doug Flutie. Doug Flutie, a very good backup quarterback throughout his career. But this is where the list starts. Number 5 on the list is Frank Reich. Currently the coach of the Indianapolis Colts. Not only does he have the claim to fame to composing the greatest comeback in college football history, but he also has the biggest comeback in NFL history. Let me take you to January 3rd, 1993. The Buffalo Bills are playing the Houston Oilers. They're down 35-3 at half. 35-3. This should be a lock. You're done. Game over. Buffalo comes back. And Frank Wright goes 21 for 34, 289, and 4 touchdowns in the second half to lead the comeback to go 41-38. Gets them to the Super Bowl. Jim Kelly, he leads them to the Super Bowl. He actually plays that Super Bowl and goes 18 for 31, struggles in that game. They actually get blown out by the Cowboys 17-52. But Frank Wright, throughout his career, especially in the playoff situations, very, very good. His ability to fill in for a Hall of Fame quarterback like Jim Kelly definitely gets him on this list, especially through those 92 playoffs. And he was a serviceable quarterback throughout his entire career. So Frank Reich, number 5 on the list. Number four was a guy that was actually a starter for a short time throughout his stay in Los Angeles and in Oakland. But we're looking at Jeff Hostetler, who actually won the Super Bowl in 1990 against Buffalo. This guy, he comes in for an injured Phil Sims, who we now know as one of the most annoying voices on football commentary today. But he comes in and does his job. He leads this team to a Super Bowl in 1990. I think if you win a Super Bowl as a backup quarterback, you deserve to automatically be on this list. And yeah, That's exactly where Jeff Hostetler is. Even as a starter, not that bad. His first year as a starter in Los Angeles for the Raiders, 10-5. Then he goes 9-7, 7-4, 7-6. Not that bad as a starter. He winds up his career in 97 with the Washington Redskins, for an overall career record of 51-30-32. Jeff Hostetler making number 4 on our list. By the way, I had a high school football coach that played with Jeff Hostetler on that 90s Giants team. So,
huh. Well, there you go.
Yeah, it was kind of fun. Kind of fun. Number three on this list is Don Strock. You probably don't know who Don Strock is.
Yep, no idea.
He was the 111th overall pick in the 1973 NFL draft and spent the majority of his career with the Miami Dolphins. He was the backup to Bob Greasy. He was the backup to Dan Marino. He also played a season in Cleveland. He also played a season in Indianapolis in 1989 before retiring. You look at his career as a starter, 16-6. He was very good when he needed to be good, and backing up legends like that, Bob Greasy and Dan Marino, and then also coming in and getting the job done when he needed to get done. A great guy to have. He was also on that 83 team that went to the Super Bowl, ultimately lost in that game. But Don Strock, number 3 on the list. Number 2. Finally, a name that you are going to recognize, Alan, other than Frank Reich. Because you probably recognize Frank Reich as a head coach, right? Not a quarterback.
Yeah. I knew he played quarterback, but I didn't really know about the Super Bowl. All that, so.
Yeah. But here's one you know. It is our buddy, Big Dick Nick. Nick Foles.
Wait, he's not number 1?
No, he's not number 1. There is someone more legendary than that.
Wait. Are you sure? Because we're talking about Big Dick Nick here, Mitch.
They
don't just give that nickname away.
No, they don't. They don't just give that nickname away.
It ain't free. You got to earn it.
This shit doesn't come free. I promise you. It doesn't.
Okay. All right. I trust you.
It didn't come free because he definitely did his due diligence, obviously leading this team to a Super Bowl victory in 2016. 2017. That's right. I always get those years mixed up. Those years were a blur for me.
That was Mitch's. That was Mitch's coke phase. You know, it's like,
I was partying a lot with Flash Gordon and Seth MacFarlane.
Johnny Manziel.
Johnny Manziel and Seth MacFarlane, but only in the voice of Ted from the movie Ted. he led the Philadelphia Eagles to a Super Bowl championship in 2017. But he also did his due diligence in Philadelphia in 2013, where he led the team to an 8-2 record. Then he, in 2014, he did a 6-2 record. The guy was just fantastic. By the way, in that 2013 season, 27 touchdowns and 2 interceptions.
Amazing. Amazing.
While tying the single game record for touchdowns in a single game. So, the guy did work. He had short stints in St. Louis and Kansas City. Neither of which really worked out. He is now in Jacksonville. We wish a speedy recovery for him, even though we are all enjoying the Gardner Minshew hype that we're getting right now. But Nick Foles.
That is true.
Number 2 on the list. Number 1! And Dallin, this is the guy that even beats out Big Dick Nick. You ready?
I'm waiting because you've set this up, so it better be good.
His name is Earl Morrill.
He's got a funny name. That's cool.
Yeah. Earl Morrill. Want me to tell you about Earl Morrill? Let me tell you about Earl Morrill.
Wait, real quick. Before you get into this, I got to make this joke. I don't want to ruin it. Okay. Earl Morrill sounds like a guy that goes to like a Denny's and gets steak and liver at like 10:30 in the morning.
Yeah, and he gets kicked out at some point because his liver wasn't cooked the right way.
Yes, and then he says, and then he uses some like racist word towards a like Filipino waitress and then he gets kicked out. That's it, Mitch. You nailed it.
He doesn't know like not to use racial slurs anymore.
Right. He's like 85 years old. Okay, sorry. Go ahead. I want to hear about Earl Morrill.
Earl Morrill, Dallin, is the greatest quarterback you've never heard of. Why this guy is not in the Hall of Fame, I'll never know. So he was drafted to the San Francisco 49ers in 1956. And this guy just straight up backed up legends. Let me just give you the name of the guys that he backed up. He backed up Y.A. Tittle in San Francisco. He backed up Len Dawson in Pittsburgh, Fran Tarkenton in New York, Johnny Unitas in Baltimore, and Bob Greasy in Miami. Backed up straight legends.
How long did this dude play? That's a very expansive
This guy,
list.
He played from 1956 to 1976. So a 19-year career.
Wow. Jeez, man.
So in 1968, Johnny Unitas, who was before a lot of his predecessors, was the greatest quarterback in NFL history. He gets hurt early in the year and Earl Morrill has to start 14 games. He goes 13-1 in those games, leads them to Super Bowl III, which, you know, Broadway Joe Namath famously called that he guarantees a victory in that game. They wound up losing 16-9. But here's the thing. As a backup quarterback, he won the 1968 MVP award.
Wow.
Let it sink in. Let it sink in. 13-1. He threw 26 touchdowns while still throwing 17 interceptions. 17 interceptions, and he was the MVP.
It's a different NFL, that's for sure.
It was a very different NFL.
Different NFL, but that's crazy. A backup wins. Okay.
But it's,
all right, Mitch,
it's not over. It's not over. He did that.
Because I'm already on board with him as number one now. That's pretty big. I want to hear the rest.
Now that's when he did that at age 34. Let's fast forward to 1972. Okay, Don Shula's coaching the Baltimore Colts at that time in 1968. He goes, you know what? I got a great idea. This guy just got cut out of Baltimore. I want to bring him in as a backup quarterback. Don Shula goes ahead and signs a 38-year-old Earl Morrill as a backup quarterback to Bob Greasy. Bob Greasy goes down in week 5. And Earl Morrill leads them to a 12-0 record. He is only replaced in the Super Bowl by a now healthy Greasy. And pretty much without him, you would not have the undefeated 1972 Dolphins. And
wait,
goes ahead,
that's that season?
That is that season, the undefeated 72 Dolphins.
Mitch, I had no idea that they were playing their backup quarterback like that entire season and still went undefeated. That's amazing.
Let me give you his accolades here. As a backup quarterback, two-time Pro Bowl, two-time All-Pro, three-time Super Bowl champion, one-time NFL champion. And, by the way, from his record from 68 to 72 as a backup quarterback was 31-3-1. He hardly ever lost.
What?
He hardly ever lost. The guy is an absolute legend. Now, why he is not in the NFL Hall of Fame as a backup quarterback, just put him in there as a backup quarterback. He's the greatest of all time. And that's why he's number one on Mitch Moe's top five list of the week.
Wow, Mitch. Mitch, I am hashtag Earl Merle to the HOF. I'm here. Like, how does he not have a bust in Canton?
It's beyond me. It is beyond me.
It's amazing.
It is unbelievable how this guy did not get into Canton. Just, I mean, obviously his career, he was 63-36-3 throughout his career, right? 161 touchdowns to 148 interceptions. Yeah, those numbers aren't super attractive. But what he did off the bench and the guys that he backed up while he was doing it, why isn't this guy there? Why isn't he there?
I mean, here's two reasons that are really easy to watch. One, he won the MVP as a backup. So that's really impressive. And then on top of that, he's the reason practically that the Dolphins go undefeated that year. I mean, without him and winning 12 games as the backup, they don't get under that history doesn't happen.
I mean, a lot of people point to that 72 defense. They had the no-name defense in 72, and which was great. But without Earl Morrill, you're not going 12-0. I guarantee you that. I don't even
name another backup quarterback that could lead a team to 12-0. I mean, that just can't happen.
Regardless of era. I mean,
and regardless of the team. I mean, the Patriots were great the year they went undefeated, but throw in the backup there, they don't go 16-0. It just doesn't happen.
It doesn't. No, it doesn't.
Wow, that's remarkable, Mitch. Well done, Mitch. That may be the best list you've ever done.
Not even for 2 through 5. Just for number 1, because Earl Morrill's such a freaking legend. He's such a legend.
Oh my goodness. Wow. Great stuff, Mitch. Thank you for that.
No problem. Anytime. Next week, we'll talk about it.
All right. It is time, guys. It is time to get in the quick picks. Now, obviously, I haven't been on the podcast in a couple weeks. We didn't do one last week, but we have been making picks, keeping each other accountable for those picks. So as we enter this week, I'm going to give everyone a little update on where we're at. Mitch is in the lead. He is 4 games ahead at 56-35-1. I am at 52-39-1. We each went 7-7 last week. So not a great week for either of us.
Which sounds like a really good way to cover up that we didn't have an episode last week. Split it down the middle, whatever. But I promise you, we actually did wind up 7-7. But
I really did pick the Jets to beat the Dallas Cowboys, and Mitch really did make fun of me for it.
You did.
That all happened.
Yeah.
All right, let's start this off with Thursday night. The Kansas City Chiefs coming off the tough loss to the Houston Texans. We'll be going to the Mile High City to take on the Denver Broncos and Joe Flacco. And because of Joe Flacco, Mitch, I have the Chiefs in this game.
Yeah, I got the Chiefs in this one as well. I think Patty Mahomes, who's had a down couple of weeks according to his standards, I think that he bounces back and they stick this one to Denver. I really do. I think they get the job done up in Mile High. Following that, Miami. They're leaving the Sin City of Miami. I think that's a new Sin City. I don't think they have laws in Florida.
Maybe. I don't know. I've never been.
But they're going on to take on the Buffalo Bills. I got the Bills in this one, man. Bills off to a hot start. And if you look at the rest of their schedule, they got a really favorable schedule for the next 5 games or so. I think that they can rattle off a few big wins here. and really solidified themselves as a legitimate playoff contender. I got the Bills in this one.
Yeah, Bills sitting out 4-1 going into this game. You got to be happy to see Miami on the schedule. I have them as well going to 5-1. And like you said, with, you know, they could get to the 7-win mark. You're in a really good position this early in the season to be at 7 wins and, you know, be solidified for a playoff position. So Buffalo needs the win here, and I think they'll get it. Moving on, we have the Jacksonville Jaguars and Gardner Minshew heading to the butthole of America, Cincinnati, to take on what I believe is still a football team, the Cincinnati Bengals. I have, much like when Miami comes on the schedule, Mitch, I feel like every team should be chomping at the bit when they see the Cincinnati Bengals arrive. AJ Green is back, but it will not help. Jacksonville gets the win and bounces back after a couple tough weeks.
Yeah, no one goes on vacation to Cincinnati. Just
no, and if they did, they're a psychopath.
Yeah. I would question their upbringing. I really would.
Call their parents and be, what did you do to your child?
How did you teach them that Cincinnati was a great getaway city?
They chose to spend money on a vacation to Cincinnati?
Of all places, Cincinnati. Question their lineage if that happens. I got Jacksonville. They're going to bring back a W. To the swamps of Jacksonville this week. Give me Jacksonville over Cincy. Following that game, Minnesota. They're leaving Minnesota. And I didn't have any
insightful.
I didn't have anything cooler to say there. They're leaving. They're leaving their home state to take on the Detroit Lions in Motor City. I think the Lions are a little bit salty after this Green Bay game. And I think they come back hard, and I think they get this win over Minnesota. Give me Detroit.
All right, Mitch, I think this is going to be a tough game. I mean, like we said earlier, the NFC North is the strongest division in football right now. All these teams seem like they really could potentially be playoff teams. Minnesota's defense has been excellent. Dalvin Cook has been excellent, and Kirk Cousins has really stepped it up the last couple weeks after the passing offense just was so flat to start the year. Minnesota's on quite a little roll here, and despite the salt Detroit may possess on Sunday, I believe that it is Minnesota who will get the victory and what will be a fantastic game if you get the opportunity to watch it. I think this is going to be a good one. All right. Following that, in the NFC North, the Green Bay Packers stay at home, and this time it's the Oakland Raiders coming into town for a visit. Mitch, it's Aaron Rodgers, and it's this very good Packers team. Give me Green Bay.
Yeah, I really wanted to pick Oakland in this game.
Of course you did.
You know what? You'll be eating those words when they go 8-8, and you lose that bet. That's the way that's going to go. I really wanted to pick them because I feel like that even with whatever they got going on at the wide receiver court week in and week out, John Gruden has been able to make it happen. But for the reasons you just said, Aaron Rodgers and that team is playing very, very well. And Lambeau, tough place to play. One of the toughest places in football to play. Give me the Packers over Oakland. Following that, we got the Rams. They're leaving the City of Angels after a tough loss to the San Francisco 49ers. And they're headed over to Hotlanta to take on the Atlanta Falcons. I got the Rams in this one. I think a good bounce back game for them. This Falcons team is just not very good. So I got a big win for the Rams in this one. In fact, I don't think we have a drop. I don't think we have music or anything for this. We haven't done this before. But give me this as lock of the week.
Oh, okay.
Give me this as lock of the week. Rams over Falcons. I think you can lock that one down if you're into the sports gambling side of things. Lock this one down. Rams over Falcons.
Yeah, I will say this could not come at a better time for the Rams. Atlanta's defense has been awful. Awful to start the year, and so for a team that only mustered 7 points against a very good Niners defense, great timing for Sean McVay and Jared Goff in this offense to kind of get things rolling again. This is a good team. This is a playoff team. I'm not necessarily worried about the Rams, but it has definitely been a rough start to the season coming off the Super Bowl loss. But this Atlanta game comes at a great time. I agree with you. The Rams are going to win, and I think it'll be pretty big. So let's go to the AFC South, where we have a matchup of the top two teams in the division. Houston traveling to Indianapolis to take on the Colts. Houston is 4-2. The Colts are 3-2. Mitch, this is going to be a great game. I know Houston got a big win against Kansas City, but I have the Colts at home in this one.
Yeah, I love Indianapolis. I love what Jacoby Brissett is doing over there. But I can't shy away from Houston's firepower offensively. They've been playing great defensively. I really, truly believe that Houston is going to get this done on the road in Indianapolis. Give me the Texans. Following that, San Francisco, they're leaving the city by the bay and headed over to the nation's capital to take on the Redskins. San Francisco will be a 6-0 team at the end of the week. I got the Niners over the Redskins.
Mitch, Washington is coming into this game after a huge win over a tough opponent. So I would not sleep. I'm just kidding. No, Washington got gifted a win by Brian Flores, because when you're trying to lose every game, that means you have to try to lose. So you go for two at the end of it because you're like, to hell with it. I'm trying to lose games. So Washington is 1-5. They will be 1-6. San Francisco gets a nice easy matchup against the Redskins.
I was about to break my computer.
Oh man, yeah, it's rough sledding for any Washington Redskins fan. It's been rough. It's been a rough couple years. I apologize for all of them. Go pick a better team. Just kidding. It's that easy. Pick a better team. All right, guys, it is time for the garbage game of the week.
This is just hot garbage. Straight hot garbage. You're a garbage person.
Garbage game of the week. We have the Arizona Cardinals heading to the Meadowlands to take on the New York Giants. Kyler Murray versus Daniel Jones. The matchup of top 10 QBs. Woo! Ton of fun, right? No, these are two not very good teams, though I do think this game will be fairly entertaining. And Mitch, believe it or not, I have the Giants in this one.
Believe it or not, I have the Giants in this one as well.
No way, really?
I do.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, I think I'm starting Daniel Jones in fantasy.
I
got a lot.
You have fun with that.
I have a lot riding on this. So don't let me down. Clearly. Don't let me down, Daniel, or I'll trade your ass. I'll just drop you. I won't even trade you. I'll just drop you.
Ain't nobody trading for Daniel Jones.
Well, it's in Dynasty. It's in Dynasty, so there's some there's some upside value.
Okay. All right.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of which, if you want some good Dynasty advice, go listen to the Daily Double Up, our DFS podcast. I'll plug that at the end one more time. But anyway, let's move on with our quick picks. We got the Chargers. They're leaving their stadium of 25 total fans that show up every week. And they are taking on the Tennessee Titans. I got the Chargers in this one. Like, Titans, it's tough to bounce back after getting shut out. And I think the Chargers are going to pull this one off.
Both teams coming off of bad losses. Chargers losing to the Steelers and Delvin Hodges?
Yeah.
Did I even say that right?
Yeah.
Is that the quarterback?
Delvin Hodges.
Whoever the hell he is. That's who the Chargers lost to, and that is extremely embarrassing. This is a team that's 2-4. They've lost two straight. They're going in the wrong direction, but at least they're starting their starting quarterback. Tennessee has decided to go with Tannehill this week, and I will take the Chargers as well, but I don't – these are two teams that I don't really know much about. These aren't very good teams, I think.
No. It's not. It was actually a competitor for me for a garbage game of the week. So,
it's pretty close. I will say this. Arizona and New York are definitely two worse teams, but that is a more exciting game than Tennessee and the Chargers.
Oh, yeah.
That is for sure.
It's like throwing two dumpster fires against each other, see which one's going to blow up first.
You know what? Screw it, Mitch. We make the rules here. I'm changing it. This is the garbage game of the week. You're absolutely right. Garbage. Hit it. We got to get the music.
This is just hot garbage. Straight hot garbage. You're a garbage person.
Garbage game of the week. I changed it.
This is bad.
Chargers Titans.
This game's bad.
That's really, the more we talk about this, the more I'm like, this is a really bad game.
Oh, so. It's terrible.
All right. All right, guys. It's time for the Bears. Your Bears, mm-hmm. Mitch. At Soldier Field, taking on the New Orleans Saints, who have been fantastic since the loss of Drew Brees. They've won four straight. They're 5-1. But, Mitch, this is Chicago, baby. And that's a very good Bears defense, baby. It's Teddy Bridgewater. Are you kidding me? Get that out of here. I got the Bears.
Oh, I knew you'd come to your senses. Look, Teddy Bridgewater's been great. He's been great. He's done a great job, as good a job as he could have done for filling in for Drew Brees, right? This team has been great. The Bears, they're coming off a rough loss, right? In London to Oakland. They've had the bye week to regroup. They've had the bye week off, which sometimes can hurt you. But you got to be crazy. Absolutely insane if you think I'm not picking my Bears. The Bears get this one done at home in Soldier Field. Let's go.
I love it, Mitch. I love it. I want to point out something funny about the Bears real quick, even though I just picked them. The Bears are second in points allowed at 69 points behind the New England Patriots, who have given up an incredible 48 points through six games.
Yeah, that's the gap. Right. That's the gap we're fighting with right now.
That's nuts. That's nuts. But their offense, the great defense, their offense has only scored 87 points, which is good for 30th. Only the Jets and the Dolphins have scored less points than the Bears. The Washington Redskins have outscored the Bears, Mitch.
Hey, you know what?
That's embarrassing. That's embarrassing.
You know what? I've always said this. I don't care how you get W's as long as you get them done.
Yeah, it's true.
I don't care how you get them as long as you get them. Following that, probably game of the week in my mind. Is this game of the week?
Yes. Yeah, I think so.
I think this is game of the week. Baltimore, they're going over to the Emerald City to take on the Seattle Seahawks. Your parents' beloved Seattle Seahawks.
Yes.
And as much as I love Dennis and Christine, I love them so dearly. They actually were down here last month. I got to spend some time with them. My parents and Dallin's parents are very good friends. I got to spend some time with them, and I loved spending all that time with them. I really did. But I got to take the Ravens in this one. Yeah. I got to take the Ravens in this one in a very hard-fought game. Neither a defensive battle nor an offensive battle. I think we're going to see a 27-23 victory by the Ravens.
100%. This is going to be a fantastic game, but Lamar Jackson has been amazing this year. Yes, Baltimore struggled. They won two games. They lost two games, and they've now won two games. Lamar Jackson, to me, is an MVP candidate. He has really been that good. And what a great matchup. What a great test to take on the 5-1 Seattle Seahawks on the road at CenturyLink, which is the hardest place to play in the NFL. And but I think he's got it in him. I think this team has got it in them. So I have Baltimore, but again, this is a close game. I would not be shocked, obviously, if Seattle wins this. And I think this is going to come down to a last-minute drive, a last-minute game-winning field goal. It's going to be a tight one, and it's going to be a lot of fun to watch.
Oh, my gosh. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. All right, Sunday Night Football, and it's the NFC East, as it always is in Sunday Night Football. And, Mitch, we were talking about this off the pod. That's usually pretty annoying that, you know, it's like – it's the NFC East, so it has to go on Sunday night, but it's Eagles and Redskins, and you're like, I don't care about this. This is not a good game. But this one, this week, Mitch, it is a good game. It's the Eagles and the Cowboys, who are both sitting at 3-3, who both have Super Bowl aspirations and yet have had mixed bags as far as what the first six games has given them. This is going to be a test for both teams, and I have the Eagles getting the win in Jerry World on Sunday night and taking over the division lead over the Cowboys.
You know, I just talked a bunch of crap about the Cowboys earlier in this in this episode. Philadelphia, you're the worst fan base in football. Dallas, you're about the dumbest fan base in football. But I got one thing to say to you. How about them Cowboys? I got the Cowboys at home in Jerry World against the Eagles.
Wow. Okay. All right, Mitch. I mean, listen, I think this will be a tight game, and I think I had both teams winning over 10 games, you know, going into the season. I think they're both playoff teams. I think this will be a great game. This is close to game of the week for me. I think this will be a
very good one. This is one of the ones I had a tough time picking, actually. So, following that, the last game of the week, Monday Night Football. The New England Patriots, they're leaving Foxborough to take on the New York Jets and the Big Apple. You know, Dallin, we just talked about an undefeated team, 1972 Miami Dolphins, right? There's a couple teams. There's only two teams, actually, I think, that are undefeated right now. That's the Niners and the Pats, right? The Pats, every single year, without fail, lose a game that they should not lose. Give me those Jets on the big stage, getting it done against the New England Patriots on the big stage, the biggest stage of them all, other than the Super Bowl, Monday Night Football. Give me the Jets against the Pats and a shocker of an upset.
Mitch, I was already there. I was already there, my friend.
Yes!
I have the Jets. Listen, I picked them last week against Dallas. It's Sam Darnold, baby.
Yes!
The same team.
Yes!
If anyone's going to do it, it's Sam Darnold coming off a mono, beating the Cowboys, and then just saying, F your 6-0, New England. Like, I got, like, this I'm here, baby. I have the Jets on Monday night, and even if they don't win, this is going to be a good game. I think this will be a close game, but I'm feeling Sam Darnold, and I would not be shocked if Darnold comes back, you know, from this sickness and wins four straight games and just is like, yep, we're here. We're 4-4 now. It's all good. I'm with it.
That's my upset of the year right now.
I wouldn't say that, because here's what I will say. Yes, the Jets' record is terrible, but that's not the team that is playing on Monday.
No.
So this team is much better than its record. And so I don't think this is a crazy upset per se, but I do know that New England is obviously very good, and they've been very good all year. So it is a big deal.
Yes, it is. It is a big deal.
Or a big deal, as people say it here in Utah.
Big deal.
It's a big deal. Big deal. So, all right, Mitch, that is it for the picks.
Yep, that's it.
That is it. I do have to mention, guys, before we go, I would be ashamed if I didn't mention the absolute domination that I laid upon our good friend Mitch Mo last week in our fantasy football matchup.
Ugh.
I almost
you didn't have to
felt
do that.
A little bad.
You didn't have to.
I didn't have to go that hard, and yet I did. I mean, when my top scoring player is the New England defense with like 29 points, I mean, it was just incredible.
Yeah, it was. You didn't miss. You set the perfect lineup, is what you did.
I did miss one thing. I actually left points on the table still, which is remarkable, because I beat you by, like, you know, almost 60 points, and I still left some on the table, technically, but it was great. I just had to say that because, you know, it always feels good to beat your friends in fantasy football. That's why we do it.
It does. So. You know, I got a big trade in the works right now in our Dynasty League. So when MJ hears this, hopefully he accepts this trade before it gets done, before he hears this. Just take the trade. You're rebuilding. You know you want it. Just take it. Just take it.
Oh, MJ. No, take my trade instead, MJ. I sent you a good offer. Well, so.
I got to see him at a wedding this last weekend, and it was very nice to see him. I miss that guy, seeing that guy all the time. So
nice. That's good.
One of my favorite people I get to see. So
I get to play our good friend Jordan Fox, Mitch, in both of our fantasy leagues, in both the Dynasty and the Redraft. We match up this week, which is pretty fun. That's pretty rare to happen. And we're both pretty good in both leagues, where we both have pretty good records.
Yes.
So this is like a big game, you know, a big game for both of us. So I'm excited. I hope I win both. That'd be awesome for the fantasy football expert to get bested by me in both matchups. So I'm pulling for it. I think
that'd be fantastic. And speaking of fantasy football expertise, if you guys feel so inclined, go ahead and give our other podcast, me and Jordan Fox, our podcast, the Daily Double Up. It's our daily fantasy sports podcast. You can go listen to us on Spotify. You can go listen to us on Apple iTunes. I did it again. You can go listen to us on iTunes or Apple Podcasts or Spotify or, you know, wherever the heck you get your podcast at. Go ahead and give that a listen. Go give us a subscription. Go leave us a rating. Tell us know what you think, or let us know what you think about it. Because this is a podcast that we're hoping to grow. So go give us a listen and give us a rating.
Yeah, absolutely. Great stuff, Mitch. Also, guys, if you didn't notice already, we are on Anchor now.
Yeah.
We're on a new hosting website. We've tried out quite a few and are excited to be on Anchor. There's a ton of things that we enjoy about this new site, including a lot of opportunities for us to interact directly with you, our listeners. You can leave us voicemails on Anchor, and we will be using those in our shows. So if you want to be a part of the show, we encourage you to go to Anchor, check out our page. The link for it will be in the notes of this podcast. You can check it out there. It'll also be on our social medias. So you can check us out on there. It gives us the opportunity for sponsorships to monetize this podcast so that we can, you know, make a better podcast, more content, merch, all that kind of stuff that we want to do. Anchor gives us the capability of doing that. So check it out. They have an app. You can get it on the desktop. But it is a great site for podcasts. You can find a ton of content there, and you can support us on there.
Yeah, Anchor is a great way for you guys to get involved. If you have a question that you want us to answer, if you have a question you want us to deep dive in, guys, you're just giving us content. And our content helps us give you a better podcast. So if you can go out there, leave us a voicemail that we'll answer here on the show. We will give you an answer, our unfiltered, unadulterated opinion, and just continue to support the show. I know you guys have been doing it for a long time with the listens and the downloads, and we really appreciate it. But this new platform allows us to expand on that. So please do all that you can to support the podcast here on Anchor.
All right, Mitch, I think that's about it, right?
That's going to do it, baby.
That'll do it. Till next week, guys, when we will be doing a NBA preview, because the NBA season starts next Tuesday.
Woo, baby!
It is already here, so it is time for a Megasode, an NBA
Megasode.
I had to pause because I knew that was coming. I was like, Mitch is going to do the thing.
He's
going to
do the thing. It's an
NBA Megasode as well as the normal content, guys. So we appreciate it. We love you all. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you next week.
I'll see ya.